poetic, right? Okay. So we're speaking a little about Bhishma. Let's speak a little more about Bhishma. Time is described, but we began by noting that the sugyas in Kal Gadol, at least, already established that the sugyas. I'll try to give you my makomos. I don't know which one we're going to do, so I can bring them. But are people going to be here tomorrow? I'll fax them to the office tomorrow. Okay. The sugyas here in Bona already established that Bishul Arpia applies not only in Oakland, that's the last thing we were discussing, but it applies in other objects as well. Right? The Gemara says that if you throw the pegs into the oven, that would constitute Bishul. Mind the shavas sichtali atuna chayim mishum evashel. Then the Gemara explains about the same with the shurim manakam mechavein kamashvul and the bir parafi b'hadar coming. Then the Gemara goes on to explain that artach kufra is chayim mishum evashel. Again, ma'od the same with kibud hadar v'kushay emalo kamashvul. And then the Gemara continues that avod chavisa chayim mishum chavachatos, tanura is chayim mishum shmonachatos. Chalasas, Yunalef Chatos, all of these things, of course, are not Oakland. And nonetheless, we find in all of them that there is a concept of a Bishul. Yeah.
Is it possible that there is also a Fiat in not Oakland? Or is it possible to make the argument, based on a certain distinction between a Fiat and Bishul, that even though there is a Kaddish that Bishul would apply not Oakland, and Fiat would still be
Oakland? And why should we say that?
If you say that, I mean, it depends on the relationship.
Even if one were to find a Fiyah in the Mishkan, I don't know whether that would make a Fiyah and Bishul.
Doesn't the Mishkan say that the reason why something becomes
Kasha
is
Duryodhoka? Okay,
to
sound like Ofa does apply. Yeah, I think the Chiddush would be, I don't think we need to prove that, that Ofa and Bishul are the same. That's obvious.
So if you learn from Ophir, the things
that are... Right. No question. I'm saying, I think what Zvi is suggesting is, is it possible to say that a Fi and Bishul should be one and the same? That's the standard view. Your point is well taken. That's an expression of it. We're not surprised at that. The question is, would you find anybody who would ever say the opposite? Somebody would say that a Fiyah is more like... Maybe. Again, we had a line in the Ramban, if you recall, we talked about Mishkan and other things, where the Ramban said that had Bishul and Afiyah been separate in the Mishkan, it would have been more... they would have been more distinctive than Zorah, Borer, and Merak. And it certainly would have been kind of separate of us Malacha, and that's the Ramban in the context of Ketisha. That's how he proves that it's not possible that Afiyah was there at all. It's just essentially his rejection of Rabbi Tam, right? So, in one sense, what Ramban is important for is the Ramban establishes that there's a certain way to look at Afiyah and Bishul that make that are very different. In terms of hardening and softening, in terms of other parts of the process, and so on. So that mentality, I guess you could say, would work well, according to what Svi is suggesting, if you could have a cake and eat it too. The problem is, once you say that already, so then why not go all the way with it? Which is what Ramban is arguing. Ramban is saying, if they're really, they are different, and if they've both been in the Mishkan, they would have been two avos malacha. Can you say that they're different, they're both in the Mishkan, and they're not two avos malacha? That's, I think, more questionable. Maybe. maybe, but the burden of proof is to prove that they're so different. The default situation would be, as you said before, and that is that they are two sides of the same coin. In any case, this is an important element. Again, the Urayim that we just talked about last time tries to explain in these cases that they're really yibush ha-lachluchis, so in a sense, like you're always being the basho of the water.
The basho of the water are the vapor, whatever it is, out of existence.
Is that a way to limit the definition of official? It's a little bit hard to say. Perhaps. Again, I don't think any of us would have interpreted those cases the way the Iranian does. Obviously, he has an agenda. How far to push it, this idea, is a little harder to know. If indeed Bishul applies beyond, Bishul Mafi apply beyond the Ochlin, so then the question is how to define it, and that's the other element, that's what we ended up with last time. The Gemara here seems to have Gemara here seems to assume that Ripui as opposed to Koshi is the Malacha question. And as we noted, the Rambam clearly doesn't read the Gemara that way. Rambam in some cases has Ripui, in some cases has Koshi, or Kishu. So I think the point is, and this is the last point that we made last time, was many Achronim raised the question, if Ripui or Kishui is enough to be considered Bishul, so why isn't Ripui the Kishui Ochlin considered Bishul? When it comes to Bishul, we have other standards, Kimacho Ben Drosai, Kol Tzarko, and so on and so forth. So I think the answer really could be that, at least according to the Rambam, it's not Ripui, it's not Kishui, and it's not being Makshi or something, Machila. What it really is contributing to make the change for the Chepetz in question, which is meaningful and significant. And that is defined by each process or each object, maybe even the process more than the object. So when it comes to Ochlin, the standard is making it edible. And when it comes to other things, it's Kishui, and when it comes to still other things, it might be Ripui. You still have to explain the Gemara. What would be the Havamina that Kishui would be a problem? Apparently, I have to say that in this particular Cheftza, the Ripui is the intended result at this point in the process. The Kishui is a distraction from that. I'm saying that more by the way of reconstruction than necessarily in a predictive way. But if you take Shita Sarambam, then it can be Kishui, it can be Ripui, it can be Hashir Ochlin, you have to say something like that. Yeah.
Is the Rebbe reading the Sugya as if the word is having that's thrown into Havamina is really superficial? I mean, the Sugya doesn't have to be talking about what's part of the Shem left as Urufe, it could be talking about issues of Kavana as well.
It's possible. I mean, this issue comes up in another context too. I mean, Rashi here says speaks about kavanas yibush, right? Again, as we've had in several other malachos, it's hard to know whether kavana means kavana in the sense of davar miskaven or malach shem tzricha legufa, or kavana refers to the shem malacha. Again, Rashi talks about kavanas yibush here. The Achronim, I'll ask against Rashi, the Pastino, and others. What about Psik Resha Velayamos? Well, why do we care about kavana at all? But that would be a legitimate question to ask in the Gemara as well. So the Minchas Chinuch and others suggest, both in the Gemara and for Rashi, if I recall, that, well, it would be Psik Resha, how about the Aro, Psik Resha Velayamos, and that would be Mutter. So clearly, the understanding of the Mechastino is all about subjective kavana rather than the nature of the halakha itself. But I think it's possible to suggest that both for the Gemara and for Rashi, the issue of kavana here is not the routine question of Mokshin Tzvichel and production in the Skavim, but as we had it in some other contexts, Tzarech Leitzim, L'shem Rikwe Karka we had in Rambam a few times, Kadeli Apos, well, that's part of the Shem Malapa. I think that that makes more sense than the Sugya itself. Okay. Either way, there seems to be a limitation, even if we were to take this broader view, that it's Ripui, the Kishui, and not only Hasher, Hadavar, you know, from Inner Roy to Mini Roy, there still is a limitation here, and that is, it's Al Yidei Chom. Because one could have said that the Malacha Bishul is just a proxy for creating change, through some sort of transformative action. But at least the postman didn't think this was clearly wrong. I mean, the fact is that all the cases of Bishul are cases of Bishul Ayde Chom. In Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Shin Yud Ches, Shin Yud Ches Sif Dalet, so the Rambam makes it perfectly clear that anytime you use cold water, but cold water is Machshir Ochlin, that constitutes Makaba Patish, according to the Rambam, not Bishul. I'd say, why? We took an object which was Eneroi Lachila, and through its Hadacha, in this case, Putzone, it became Roi Lachila, what I call it Bishul. Why does Bishul not have to be through heat? But that's the view of the Rambam, and as far as I know, that's the accepted view of the Rishonim earlier. So apparently, it's Hishtanshus B'chom Kedei L'shanos Hachepes. Whatever that Shinui is, whether it's the Ripui or the Kishui or the Hechsher Hachepes. But the Hishtanshus Ayudei Ha'or is part of the Shein Malacha. And of course, then it becomes important to note that, you know, how do you define or here? Because in certain areas of Halacha, we find, you know, the other things are the equivalent of or. One example, of course, is Moleach, right? When sometimes Malicha is like Roseach. Moleach is Roseach. When it comes to some Yerodea issues and so on. So let's say Moleach, let's say he salts the food. Right? Would that be considered Bishul? Aside from the fact, question whether or not it's evil. Right? And Yesh Evil Bochlin, or Ainu Bochlin. But is the salting also a problem of Bishul? It's an interesting question. So the there seems to be a discussion of the Ramban and the Ran in the end of Avodah Zarah. The Ran in the end of Avodah Zarah seems to say that Moleach Harei Kiroseach may apply to Shabbos as well. The Ramban disagrees, and Chaschinuch in Malachas Bishul discusses this question. Where is the Maisa Or? Moleach Kiroseach, in the sense of being a creating Blia, Pluta, that's one thing. But Hilchos Shabbos, you know, we're, in addition to the question of whether or not it's Ayde Chom, you say Moleach Kiroseach. You like Kachadin, you really believe it. But the fact is that the Shtamshus Bashemesh is also not Bishul. Let's say you aim your food, you know, right angle, and then it gets cooked by the sun. Right? So we know that that's not Bishul. So the one hand, transformation of Chetza requires heat. And even within heat, right, there's a difference between fire and the sun. So how can it be that Maleach is going to be Bishul? So the Minchas Chinuch is mechalek between two types of melachs. The melach that, you know, from salt to mines, direct salt. That he says in Achanami is no better than Bishul Yidei Achama. That will not be Bishul. On the other hand, let's say you were to create or to access salt by heating the water. Right, so what about that salt? Sorry? He boils, he boils away water, and salty water. He gets the salt from that. So the point is that he produces, or he accesses, let's say, the salt through a Maisa are. That's the Minchas Chinuch suggestion how to explain the Rashi.
Then he uses that self. So
right.
Self
yes.
Even after the self to cool down.
Even?
After the self to cool down.
Yeah, right, exactly. He says, since you only had access to the salt, and its properties are only affected due to the Maisa'or that took place, so one could see that as Maisa'or. That's the Mishpatina's argument. So the truth is, that's a big finish. What is the point of something being Maisa'or as opposed to... Go ahead, Tzvi. And how is this out there?
Wow.
And how it's correct. So
in the not being of eat, what happens if you have another source of cooking, which is not from eat, but is the normal way to cook it for that particular process. So it's normal to salt fish, or for that matter to cook in a microwave. So if you say that we need water, we need heat.
So this could be connected to that issue, and there could be another question, another possibility. Maybe this will help with the Kasina as well. And that is, to what extent is Vishal again a human process? I touched on this the other day, that's what we'll expand on a little bit today. Seeing Bishul not just as an action of creating a certain result, but seeing it as a certain process. In which case, there has to be human input into the process. Simply aiming the food at the sun, even though it gets cooked, I don't think anybody can deny that, that's not Bishul. Bishul requires Maisa'or because that's something where the human input is being harnessed. In which case, being using Melach that you only have access to through Maisa'or may also be enough. The point is that there has to be it's not enough to create the result of Bishul. To do the act of Bishul, the process of Bishul, there has to be that element of integrating human performance with the mechanism. And,
So according to that, if there was fire that a person never was involved in with before?
No. I think because the point is that fire is, somehow the fire was... Fire is viewed as a second state. It's not just viewed as you're harnessing. It's not like there's a fire in the world and
lightning strikes a tree and catches on fire, and then somebody when you throw a potato into the fire.
It's hard. It's the point is that that Maisa'or is always a man-made.
In this case, it wasn't. You're saying that the fire is defined.
What do you mean it wasn't? How did the fire get started?
Lightning struck a tree.
Fine, that's fine too. I mean, the point is that the fire is an comes from an artificial source rather than a natural source. That's the point.
Exactly.
I don't mean that it's that it was caused by human beings necessarily, but it's Maisa'or is different than Maisa'or Chama. The result is not different. But in the case of Chama, you're just trying to harness the presence of something that has nothing to do with it. Anything else but creation. And in the case of lightning striking the wood and causing the fire, that too is a creation of circumstances, of factors. Maybe natural, combination of natural factors, but this fire isn't a presence in the Bria, separate from mankind. It's all part of, life in the world.
It's also, for instance,
Hametz Beri, which
is
business in
the
Bria. Right. You're not going to have it. Hametz Beri also is not.
That's
part of the discussion, right. But again, it's not whether you lit it or whether it was lit before Shabbos or whether, the lightning is in this. But none of that is. Exactly. So how we would evaluate Melach in light of that, again, so You know, Melach, I think, the distinction that Mikros Chinuch makes may be better understood in this slide as well. Yeah.
Maybe Mechalik means something which is like, again, natural Hesher Halacha includes like Molina and stuff like that, but like something like, you know, Kavash Kino Mutro or something like that, which is not.
The Kavash Kino Mutro again would be like Adachas Tzoda, which is not Shir. When we say Kavash Kino Mutro, we don't really mean in the sense that it's like Roseya. Molina, I think you say, is Kino Roseya. You know, typically affects the temperature and other things. So Kavash Kino Mutro, I think normally we mean there the Kafadimion is really a Kafadimion. It's a different process, but it's a process which creates the result. So if you say that transforming the kefetz, being machshel the ochel in its own right, is not bishul, but bishul al yedei kamin, then I think kavush kum bushul is not going to work. Maliyah kavoseyah, I think, is more of an open question. Yeah.
Right.
It's heated from underneath.
The coffee is a piece of the pan.
Right.
So there, the fire is not actually breathing. It's sort of like a suck, so it's just kind of there.
Right. And possibly. I think it's somewhere in between.
At least you can. Rassing out of the kava.
What's that?
Yeah, wouldn't you like a kava? I mean, it's not really.
It might. I'm just saying it's.
It's fire.
I'm sorry?
If the kava is in the tunnel fire, like the fire is in the end.
Could, I'm just saying, we all understand that there's still a difference, but is it different than a fire that's been there, meishesh yimei breishis, different than a fire that's created by the lightning? You know, that's what you're asking. The answer is yes. Is it still different maybe than the chama? Still possible. It just happens to, you know, that candle was lit a long time ago, and it's still... You know, I still think we're giving the power. But is there a difference there?
So you also talk about the difference between a volcano, which is often hot, and then a lot of volcanic eruptions, just timbering phenomena.
Right.
Maybe. What about the?
I don't know whether you would want to cook with either one. But it's an interesting
question. And
you go to
the similar types of
shiva that means that considered mysore. I think the lava of volcano, whether it's mysore.
You
have
a similar shiva with the radioactive
material from shiva
paint.
Radioactive?
Radioactive material
from shiva
paint.
Okay.
Because
that
also means
that the shishis migrations. Probably would not be considered mysore. I think it probably isn't. Unless you have information otherwise.
Well, no, but then you created them. You created them by
microbes.
Microbes.
Yes, it's drawing from them. I don't know. Let's investigate that. That's a good question. Microbes.
It's really just true that people learn the study of the Sakam. He says that if you use the
Right. I'm introducing another factor, but
right.
Certainly it's derech makar now, but
if
you need a source of flame, maisa or, because that's part of the definition. And I'm suggesting that even then there's another element. Whether you're harnessing an existing force or a created force, let's say. But I agree. What constitutes an existing force or a created force? You're asking about Kisva Shel Gehenna and other such things. I think there are some things that are in between the Kama and the lightning striking.
So you have three possible requirements for the Maser. We have the temporary phenomenon.
Or created phenomena.
And then we have, and that was sort of synonymous with human intelligence.
I'm just suggesting that if the nature of Bishul, it could be this a technicality, in other words, as we were saying before, let me say this way, if you're interested in anything that creates a result that is Machshir Ochlin, then you don't understand why any of these things should be different from each other. Unless you say Shalokadara. which is a technical like halachaya. Right. But otherwise, you know, ma'isa chama should be the same as ma'isa ara, and so should everything in between. Because in any case, you take this egg, a raw egg, and it becomes cooked, or this piece of meat, and you know, you put it in a situation where it becomes cooked. So if the result of a hefza of heksher ochel is the mechayin, then it shouldn't make a difference, unless you're talking about kederach and shelo kederach. That's it. If we need, if it goes beyond kederach and shelo kederach, so then this question: what is the difference between, you know, ma'isa or and ma'isa kama? What is ma'isa or? What is ma'isa kama? Where are you drawing the line? So I'm suggesting that it may, you know, relate to created things or other, you know, existing forces, created forces. I think there are some things that are kind of in between. There's a difference between the sun and, you know, the, you know, maybe Tiberia, perhaps. Chami Tiberia. You know, Chami Tiberia is somewhere in between. There's no question that, you know, the lightning hitting the wood and creating the fire, there's no question that that's ma'isa ara, that's not on the sun. As for, you know, radioactive material and so on, again, I think that might be more comparable to the chama, possibly. Either way, we need the use of heat, so tzonein and other things, like kavush kumbusha, are not going to work. As for maliach kiraseach, maybe depends on whether it's a kederach issue or not. Maybe it depends how literally you take maliach kiraseach. Maybe it depends on the type of access, or how you got the access to the particular maliach. The other element that I've added is, I've said that if you look at bishul, not just as a ma'isa or as a result, but as a process, and it's a human process, then that might help to explain why it is that we are insistent upon a created source of the heat, rather than just harnessing what exists already in Bria. That's not, you could formulate Bishul without that. So that's just what my Zeres HaKasim, either for Kedera purposes or some other factor, that there's a difference between Maisa Kama and Maisa Or. And now the question is, you know, how do you define that? Right, we know about the sun, and we know about lighting a match. And what about things in between? Where do you draw the line? I'm just suggesting that maybe a reason for this distinction is a way of looking at Bishul itself. Namely, Bishul is an inherently human process, and therefore just, you know, focusing the object to the beam of the sun is not Bishul. It may create the result, but it isn't Bishul. Bishul means, co-opting the force of the ore.
According to all of those purchases, there's no reason why we would insist on actual flame.
An actual
flame. And then the calorie would be perfectly fine as long as we saw the others. We don't assume an actual.
Well, again, it just depends on how you. Electrical current is a different question also. That may be opted in a flame. That's a question.
No, we haven't indicated any reason why we would provide actual flame.
We have explained why we want to eliminate. We've made a suggestion to explain why ma'isa chama is excluded. It doesn't mean you need a flame necessarily, but it explains why ma'isa chama and possibly melach and possibly radioactive source of heat would be excluded. That doesn't prove that you need a flame per se, but something manipulating, creating the heat source on your own, that might be what's required. Of course, if you take the position of Kederach, which of course is very much part of this whole discussion, that may spill over into other issues too, in particular the distinction between Kli Rishon and the question of Irui as well. That's a huge discussion, both in Shabbos and in the Yardea parts of the topic. The distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, Irui, whether it's Kli Rishon, and so on. There are some Rishonim who try to explain it in physical terms. Bali Tosis, you know, have this line which they say that the, you know, the dofle ha'akli, you know, dilutes the heat. It's very difficult because it's still more than yad soled as just a shear. But that's the view that they have in the Rishon policy. Some of the Achronim, kind is to say this certainly, suggests that the difference between Rishon and Kusheni and so on is in Derech Rishon. Iruri as well. Iruri can be Rishon or not. That has to do with the Derech of Yeshua. For that reason, one also might distinguish between the Bishul Shabbos part of the sugya and the Odeya part of the sugya. You know, what's considered the Bliya, what's Polate, what's Balea. You also may distinguish in terms of the issues of Bishul itself in different areas of Malach, Korb Pesach, you know, you need to be Tzli and Abubushal, Bishul Akum, Basa B'Cholav. In general, whenever you speak about Malach Bishul, you have to have at least three other areas, four other areas really, the Arnea part, the Kashrus issues, that's one. And then you have the, you know, Bishul Basa B'Cholav, Bishul Akum, Bishul Korb Pesach, on the other side of it. So again, if everything is about Belia and so on, what's a Belia? Is there Yad Soledes? The effect, in other words, then it's quite possible that it's all one and the same. It makes sense that it's all one and the same. At least with Bishol, Basa B'Chala, Korban Pesach, Bishol Akum, part of the Sukkah. On the other hand, if we say that prominent among the factors here is Derech Bishul, or if we say that Bishul Shabbos has certain special requirements, Lekula and Lechumra, but it's a process, it's a human process. We're not so much interested in the result as we are in the process itself. So then we have to look at each case. We have to try to figure out which factors are linked to that. And even on the level of the Maisa Bishul versus Kepsa on this Bashel, there might be differences in some cases. You know, you have to look at each case. What does the Basel Kalim depend on? What does Bishul Akum depend on? What does Sli versus Bishul and Kalim Pesach depend on? What does the Shabbos depend on? That leaves an opening for discussing Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Irui, Melach, Kavush, Maisa Kama, as well as how you define Bishul itself, Kamacho ben Drusoi or Bishul Kol Tzarko. Once you have Macho ben Drusoi, if you go from there to Bishul Kol Tzarko, is that a Bishul Achar Bishul or that is Bishul? Simply the principle itself. Do we say in Bishul Achar Bishul? So these have to be weighed. There are two things that have to be done in each case. You have to look at each scenario and try to define it as precisely as possible. What do you have here? From a Maisa Bishul point of view, from a Kederach point of view, from a process point of view, from a Hetzah point of view. You have to figure that out as much as possible, and then you have to figure out what does each area of halakha demand. Are some based on impact and others based on actions, some based on process, and so on and so forth. And there's room to distinguish between these four or five different issues. I don't know if we'll get and speak more specifically about it, that's what needs to be done. And if you can pin down specific Rishonim, that would be the most ideal scenario. It's hard to do that, but you know, what does Rishon X feel about these five issues in the following five cases? If you could do that, it would help a lot. Okay. Basa B'Chala, Bishul Akum, Kli Rishon, Irui, Kavush K'Mevushal, Moleach K'Roseach, Chama as opposed to Maisor. The five already. There are several different issues. There are issues on the border of what is considered an act of Bishul. These are some of the questions that we're raising. And then there's a question of applying them to different areas of halakha. What is boleya and polet? What gets makol sasuros or other things in and out of the kli. Right? Has to be calm. The kli rishon only? Also the kli sheni? Irui? Right? All, these are all issues. At least four or five areas, four or five issues, and at least four or five areas in halacha. If you could find out, pin down everything, and then look at it, you know, and have it on a chart, it would help you enormously to figure out the relationship. It's not always easy to do that, so that's what needs to be done. Okay, let's go back to the other question and speak a little bit about the relationship between the beginning and the end. So basically, I think there are three approaches. There's is the approach that I like, which I think helps in a lot of areas, and that's to see visual as a kind of a process, not either as an action or a result, but a process that begins with an action and ends with a result, but where the beginning and the end are both crucial components, and where the middle, you know, is not unimportant either. Right, so the mitzchilo v'ad sof is all important. That might have there might be certain kulas and there might be certain chumras attached with that perspective. That's a perspective. Otherwise, if you want to take it in starker, more clear-cut terms, so question you would ask would be, Bishul is a maisa, Bishul is a result. Another way to look at that question might be, Bishul is about the beginning, Bishul is about the end. So here, just briefly, what we know about this, partially parallels our discussion of Zoraya, but let's just pin it down to the son of the poets. One is the Mishnah and Zion of the base, which we saw in the context of Bisha. What do we know from there? What do we see from there? The Zion of the base, the Kasun Aleph, Aaron?
That if you have
this
Mishnah,
Zion of the base,
and you have this Mishnah, Zion of the base, and you have this Mishnah,
Zion of
the
base, and you have this Mishnah, Zion of the base, and you have this Mishnah, Zion of the base, and we pass them like Beis Hillel says you are, and among them is a case of Bishul, which proves
that Bishul before Shabbos is the action of the Maaseh opposed to the...
Yeah, you see from this Mishnah that, at least since we pass them like Beis Hillel, one of the cases is leaving something to cook over Shabbos. So the point is, according to Beis Hillel, if you initiate the process before, and it goes into Shabbos, even though the actual Bishul takes place on Shabbos, you are potter. Which means that the end, without the beginning, is definitely not Amarah. That's what we see from Sugya and Dach, the Zayin of Beis, which says Amarah. The result alone, the transition alone, is not enough to be Amarah. And that could prove that the initial the sinas hachepetz al tanur or is the maisaveir, but doesn't necessarily prove that. It only really proves that that's a necessary component. It doesn't prove that it's a machayev. It could be that if you don't have the sinas adavar al or b'shabbos, so there's no sirut to maisa shabbos. It's viewed as a maisa shaler of shabbos. Or totsa or totseres of Erev Shabbos. It's not sufficiently mitzura up to Shabbos. Or maybe on some level, you in every malacha you need a kuvaseh, even if that kuvaseh isn't the mechayev, but it's a precondition for chiyuv. So the Mishnah doesn't prove anything about the mechayev of Bishul. It only proves that you cannot get away with only the result. That's what it's in the mission. On the other hand, for the Sugya and Gimel of Beis Dalet Amud Aleph, we see something in the other direction. Namely, Yehuda, what do we see? Yeah. So from the Zion of Beis, we see that the end is not enough. And from Gimel of Beis to Dalet Amud Aleph, we see that the beginning is not enough. If that's the case, you want to read this quickly? Okay, you can dial it up, actually.
We start from Dalai Lama. Gufa.
So why you're giving our bias to the top of the material and those are closest to the top of the lower tier. Our bias, we're not dominating the Soviet or Israel like the Mani Shiro. But at a lot of it, it's the Mani of Israel. From even by it, like not. Also, the Mani of Israel is not the strong of the Sarda. Now, the major closest to the Mani is the Mani Bible.
No, Ella Bemez, right? The Gemara says, and Kodesh Shabbat the race is Skila Mibay the way. Okay, so this is the Shaka the Tower. So one thing is perfectly clear. Namely, that if you remove the object, the form, cooks, then you're potter. The only question is, are you allowed to do it or not? So from this Gemara, we certainly see that tchilas bishol is not in the chayim in its own right. Okay, that's perfectly clear. So the question is, apparently you need both. So you can need both because both are critical. It's a process. You could need both because one is critical and the other is just, you know, a necessary additional condition or precondition. And that could be formulated, you know, in either extreme. The beginning is a machayim. But what? The beginning which bears fruit. Right? The beginning which ends up being inconsequential. You're only going to know it's consequential if you see it through. Once it's consequential, so go and listen to my prayer. And maybe it's not even proper way to formulate it, going Muslim Akhraya. Maybe the better way to say it is, you're Machayat what you do in the beginning, as long as you're not okay, right, you know, as long as you're undermining what you did in the beginning. But the act of Bishul, it's defined as Bishul because it will lead self to a Bishul at the end. And therefore it's Bishul already now. So you can uproot it and un-Bishul it, but until you do that, it's Bishul. That's different even than saying that once it's this bashel, say goy Muslim Mapraya, then it becomes Bisha. I think those are two different formulations. I prefer the first rather than the second, if you're going to think this perspective. So according to that view, the Mizbashel Basov becomes a shiur in Bisha Bekhila, that's all. Or at least not uprooting it Basov maintains that initial act of Bisha. Yeah.
Is there anyone that wants to say that this is Tosis?
Because of which point it tells us?
The fact that it's top-loaded, that in order to be able to do Shrub, you have to be...
We'll get to that in a second. I think you can, you know, it's more suggestive to learn one way than another, both in the question and also in the answer, but I think you can still maintain both the shitas, which I'll explain in a second. But, yeah, I think so. I mean, we want to make it that there is something really that was done now, not even just in my prayer. That's what you're trying to say. I agree. Yeah. The other possibility is, again, if we're going to say it the other way, is that everything is the end. But as we said, just like Beis Hillel will say, that you need a kumbah, say, on Shabbos, you need that kumbah, say, because otherwise it's not material for Shabbos. But the result is everything that's kumbah. So the truth is, in the Gemara itself, there may be an indication. Yeah. Is there a difference between those two things? Yeah. The beginning is just a necessary. You need kumbase, or you need tzirut to Shabbos, but the real action is taking place at the end. The real mechayim is the result that you've created. As opposed to saying the action of putting it on the oven, that initial action, that initiating the process, is the machayev, just that if you cut it off and it never sees fruition, then the goy muslim afreya that you didn't do anything. But I prefer to say goy muslim afreya that you didn't do anything, rather than to say only if it cooks in the end is it goy muslim afreya that you did do something. But that's a nuance within the view that the Mechayim is the beginning. The mechayiv can be the beginning of mapreya, or the mechayiv can be the beginning of mikan v'lahaba, as long as you're not ochre it. The mapreya will be in the akira if you don't go through with it. But those are two formulations, both of which agree that the putting of the object on the fire is the bishul. Whereas the other perspective says, that's not the bishul at all. The bishul is the moment when it transitions from chai to mevusha. Except that, if that happens to Shev al Tasa, the Gamri, you know, then you're potter. Or if that's viewed as some sort of a Maisa Erev Shabbos, not a Maisa Shabbos, then you're not chayim for it. But it's that moment of the transition and it's the result, both in the moment, what is the critical moment, is the Nafka Mina, and in terms of the orientation, the nature of the Malacha. Is this more about a Maisa, or is it more about, you know, creating a result? Now, why is that important? For so many things, as we've seen in the Malachos and the Shabbos, meaning, you know, also it's Lashon, you know, this is going to be a routine Lashon, it's a Gufa issue, or different, maybe Shiurim. It could be also some Nachmias. So the difference is, A, when is the critical moment, when Bishul actually, the Chiyuv of Bishul takes place, and secondly, what is the nature of Bishul, what kind of Malacha is it? Is it the, you know, more passive, result-oriented category, or the more active, physical kind of Malacha? Okay. I mean, you can remove the chiyuv. It can be open.
Would that go so far as to say that the simple
fix
continues to be kept carried out, even before we see where the Malacha goes within?
Again.
Would that go so far as to say that the sentence of skila could be carried out before we see whether the business document works?
I don't think so. I think it's tough to know. You can give somebody skila for the possibility that it'll be mice will be there. But I think there are going to be enough gaminas, we'll just sort of get to that in a second.
Do you think that that's a strong kasha against that?
I don't think we need to go in that radical. We'll see cases in Rishonim themselves, which highlight it, you know, before you get to actual schema. Like, you know, whether or not it's viewed, whether taking action to reverse things, you know, eliminates the malacha entirely, or as a way out, as an exit strategy. And I think that's a clear document. You know, that's often moderate. We're talking about giving somebody schema, you know, for something that, you know, he may end up not being chayav for. Okay, so what are some of the issues that come up? So number one, in the Gemara itself, we have the question of, the Gemara says, maybe talking about a shogeg. The Gemara says, well, if he doesn't know, he doesn't know. Right, he doesn't know. So the Gemara says, well, maybe he knows, he didn't know, but now he found out. The Gemara says, that's also not going to work, because the Shogeg. He wouldn't be chayav karban if he did the action, if he put the object on the oven, then he found out that that's prohibited, and didn't take it off until the end. So it's sofo bezadon and tchilaso b'shkaga, and he would be potter from the karban. So Semach Ronim quotes that line in the Gemara, and prove from there that the ikach mechayiv has to be the end. But they say, would you say tchilasa b'sofa b'shkaga if all that was missing was a t'nai l'chiyu?
Well, that might be the issue with Zrika as
a tzad. Zrika in the end of Parak HaZohar. Could be. So I agree with you. I'm not so sure about it. But Michael's raising a very good point. The Gemara in the base, in the end of HaZohar, the Gemara speaks about tchilasa b'sofa b'shkaga. When a person throws something, and in the middle of mid-flight, you know, he realizes that what he's doing is awesome. It's not allowed. Right? So he's, I guess, it's hard to say the word mazel, but he's not a shogeg in English. It's not lots of stuff from the So Martin Scott, the Yeshua Lahadure, might still be a difference. Even if you were to be in college in that case, you might say, you know, there it's all front-loaded in the Maisa side of it because he can't get it back. Right? Whereas here, he really could. Take action. If we would allow him to take action, he physically could take action. Right. So that might be a difference. The other difference might be, on the physical side of things, it's actually a bigger kiddush to say, Kilosa Kasofa Mishkaga is a problem in Zrika than it is in Disha. Correct? It's a bigger kiddush to say in Zrika than in Disha, because Disha, it's too late to do anything about it, and still it's considered a kisara of Kilosa Kasofa Mishkaga. Whereas here, you could do something. Or something could be done, let me say that way. Even if he can't do something, somebody could do something. On the other hand, the other thing that needs to be said is the legal relationship. Physically, it's a bigger kiddush than Zrika. As for the legal question, that depends on how you understand the interrelationships. Right? Now, just because there's a beginning and there's an end of Bishul, and there's a beginning and there's an end of Zrika, maybe there's an Akira and there's a Hanacha, doesn't mean that the legal interrelationships are the same. It's quite possible that the relationship between the Sina Al-Tanur or Bishul is not the same in either direction as Akira and Hanacha. In Akira and Hanacha, it's a huge topic. Right? You need an Akira and Hanacha in order to be Chayav. But is that one integrated process? Like some children think, Hanacha mikoach or Akira, don't just need an Akira and Hanacha. The Hanacha has to be a result of the original Akira. If you deflect the angle, let's say, of descent or things of that sort, you're taking away from the Akira. Or it's not Hanacha mikoach Akira. The Dharma Shonen seem to think that it's all one integrated action, too. And there are others who think, no, it's two halves. Or it's an Akira with the condition of a Hanacha, or a Hanacha with the condition of Akira. There too, it's a huge, huge topic. And here, we know it's a topic. So the point is that whenever you say about Zrika, there's still a Chiddush in Bishul. Because not only is there this physical difference, there is possibly the legal difference of the interrelationship of the factors. So there are some Akronim who say that if the Gemara thinks that Chilasa of the Sofa of Mishkaga is a requirement of Bishul, that proves that the Sof Bishul is not just a Tanai, but it's part of the Mechayev of Bishul. It doesn't mean it's the only Mechayev, maybe it's half, but it's at least half. What Michael is trying to prove from the phase, which I'm now suggesting, is a good thing to look at. But it's not going to be proof positive because there are two wild card variables here. Is how do you know that the loss of something conscious depends on the finding? Maybe it depends on Tanoi and Mechiyim too. Right? If we were to conclude that Hanacha, in the context of Zrika, is only a Tanoi Mechiyim but not part of the Mechiyim, right, then it would show that Tzkelos of Sofo Bishkaga doesn't depend on Mechayim. So I think that's part of the discussion here. But there are a problem. Afikayam is a very famous piece on this whole question of the nature of Bishul. I think his strongest raya, what he thinks is his strongest raya, is from Tchilas of Esofa Vishkaka. Interesting. Okay. So that's one factor. The other factor is the issue that Michael alluded to a few minutes ago, and that is the issues raised by some of the Bali posts. There are several things. Number one, the question of Hasra Safek. You want to read it? Do you have it?
If the Mar, why buy a Hizu if Hizu looks for Dursa, if you look for Dursa? Shita Shalom Yishma Lara in Nasalam. The Terra Sukra, Kim Lo, Kiru, Bok Kaib Skila, Kaven Shemania Fluridos, Aide Masha Ana Ochimlo. The Kaimba Sakim, so Kerka Isha, Baral Hazab Isma, Isamil, Hanidu Dibreya Moko Paris. I'm a Lona Kai Paris, Holger, Banan Huda, Asule, Mimba Pesa.
Okay, so we're going to get back to this. This is actually very, very crucial also. This question, we'll get back to it in just a minute. But first let's do the Hasra one since you raised that first. Go ahead. Okay, stop for a second. So what is the question?
So how
there should be no skila for Hasra Safek. Now, why is it asra and safek? So if we just had the question, forget about the formulation for a minute, we would say that's asra and safek. Why is it asra and safek?
Because it could be that at the time he thought to take it down, so that even when he put it in, it was a maisa leads.
It's interesting. Wait, so you read Tosis and you paid attention to his language, which is a good thing. Okay, that I asked you to extricate yourself now for a second. Ask the question in broader terms. Because I just said to you, there's a Hasra Safek question here. What would you have thought the question was?
Because
you should pay attention to the language, which we're going to get to back in a second. I'm just saying, to highlight, Tosis...
It would be a determinant. But whether it actually will turn out to be the actual will actually occur.
Exactly. In other words, that's right. Safek here, because even though the guy's putting down the object on the fire, for all you know, it'll never. You tell him don't do this, right? And even though he's refusing to listen to you, nonetheless, it's quite possible that there'll end up being no malacha. Why will there end up being no malacha? Any reason, right? The Mashiach will come. Now, I'm not sure if that will help.
Doesn't Tosis in Shul say that Hasra Safek is dependent on the da'as of the person who's getting the Hasra?
Well, there seem to be different views. Tosis in Yuma, Tosis in they're Tosis in different places. It's not. In the Sugya of Hasra Safek itself, it's not clear at all. And the Sugya of Sanhedrin, the Bishar Bab Ben Sarah Mora, there's a lot of Makoros on this. What is Hasras Safek? So the point is, you could say, one way to formulate the question is, there are conditions where even if he defies my Hasra, he will be potter. That is not Hasra. Right? Especially if you take the view that it's about, adding, the Rav used to understand it. We spoke about this last year a little bit in Sanhedrin, adding to the Chumra Suaveira through the merit. Right? In a way. So, it's possible I can do this and I still won't be chav. So then, even if it's not, it doesn't depend on his subjective das. Right? Just, maybe it doesn't even depend on his ability to undo the process. The most extreme way would be to say, forget the Mashiach coming part, but, something's going to happen. There'll be an earth tremor in the pot will fall off the oven before the volcano that you spoke about before will not just spew a little bit of lava, but shake things up. So it'll blow the kdera off the oven before the time has come. Hopefully it won't do any other damage. It'll only save this poor fellow from an Isra Skiva. So the point is, maybe that's Asra Safek. Because it's not objectively true, which is the way some Rishonim interpret the issue of Asra Safek. If he does, Great Rashi says in Sanhedrin, if he follows through and defies my warning, it's still possible to be a Ptur. Now, Tosis himself doesn't formulate the question that way, right? So how does he formulate it again, Michael? The Mishashi Hidvik, the Tan Rishem Ahayyad, the Daitel Nerdosa, Kodashi Avodei Sestiva. Now, so this could be a general view about Asra Safek, what Brian was touching on.
It could also potentially be...
I mean, what does the guy really have in mind?
Well, it could also be anticipating his answers to some extent. In other words, since he realizes that to some extent that there is some amount of front-loaded...
Right. Maybe he doesn't have the right to think that I'm going to... Maybe. The point is that the point I want to make is as follows: the question of Hasra Safek and the answer to the question of Hasra Safek could reflect the issue of the nature of Bishul, or it might reflect the nature of Hasra Safek, and it's difficult to pin that down. On the Bishul side of it, the point is: the more we look at the act of Nesina Lahamer as an act of Bishul, the less sympathy we have for the question of Asra Safek. Especially if we take the formulation, which is what I understood you to be asking me before, we take the formulation not that you need the lamafreya in order to establish that indeed it was a maisa bishul. But on the contrary, it's a maisa bishul, although it's possible the lamafreya to be oken at maisa bishul. So then the point is, you don't anticipate the revision of history, right? In chronological time now, what you're doing is not the bishul. Either there are artificial means to undermine it, right? The answer is that's already not a strong self. Right. That depends how you understand those sugyas too. And again, what is the relationship between, you know, why is Lavanita Glase Patrimi Malkus? Is that some artificial? Or is that the condition, the way to look at it is that a condition for the actual Easter going forward is the combination of what you're doing and what you're not going to do to undermine that. So you're absolutely right. That's, I mean, that's where it comes up. But it just depends on how you understand that sugya. It comes up in a lot of places. A big Shoel, Nedarim, Hafrashas Trumas Maestros, Rishon and Maestros, Father Poses, has some different places. It's always Asra Safe, because you can always be Shoal on the Neder, you can always be Shoal on the Truma, Afkin Arba on the Kiddush Minim, right? Poses in Gittin Acham and Gimel. How can you ever give a woman Asra that she's about to be Mazana, right? Maybe the husband will try to give her a get, Shalom Fnei Bezdin, and will trigger the Sugin HaShaleach's Afkin Rabban HaKiddush Shemineh, and she never will have been married, and she's not Mazana, so it's Hasra Safek, right? So there are two ways always to look at those questions and at the answers to those questions. One is in terms of the evaluation of what's going on in the case, and how much revisionism, is it going to take to be poter you? The more revisionism that you need, the more you need the revisionist history to be poter you, the less of a case there is for Asra Safek. That's one side of it. The other side of it is no. Maybe anything, even the most, revisionist, artificial, is it factually possible to do A and not to end up with the chiyuv of A? If the answer is yes, that's Asra Safek. Or a notch below that, and how much below that? Those are the two issues that are going on here. So in terms of Bishul here, if we say Bishul is front-loaded, then our knee-jerk reaction is, it's not Asra Safek. He did the Ma'aseh there. If he chooses to take it off, or something happens, I'm afraid that it won't be a bishul. Fine. If that happens, that's called revisionist history. But basically, chronologically, he did a full-fledged bishul. It's not missing anything. That's what it's front loaded. So you have to take, to answer the question, you can really operate with, you need to operate with two things, with bishul and with Hasra Safek. But the more you have Bishul front-loaded, the less you need to machadish anything about Hasra Safek. It's very reasonable to say that it's not Hasra Safek, just because there's some patent, some contortion you can do to rewrite history, that's not enough for Hasra Safek. On the other hand, if Bishul is oriented towards the result, so the point is, what have you done? The Kubasei, the Tzirus, the Shabbos, nothing has happened yet. So what kind of Hasra is there? I don't even know if you need to invoke Hasra Safek. It's almost like Hasra Shalom B'Shas Ma'isa Veira. Come back and give me the Hasra, the second before it crosses over into Yad Salevitz. Or Machab and Drosai, rather. Right? So then, on the contrary, the pressure in the sugya is on the Hasra side of things. Either way, it's interesting that Tosfos asked the question in terms of his ability, his kavana, daita lerdosa kodem shiyom l'dei isos skila, that could be, really, Tosfos thinks that it's front-loaded. But if he's miskaven even then not to go through with it, that might be Asra something. Whereas when Putin asked the question, as I say in the other way, And that is, nothing has happened here. Tosa isn't saying nothing has happened here. Tosa is saying he might already now have intention not to let it go forward. So again, the reason Tosa says that is either because that's his general view of Hasra and Hasra Safek, or given his view of Bishul, the only way to make this question on Hasra Safek work, right, is to emphasize that even Meirosh, even right now, he's not planning to go through with it. Right, then the formulations that we said before, even for the front loading, which is the Lamafreya is that it's a Maisa, or the Lamafreya is that it's undermined as a Maisa. Or something, or maybe it depends Gufa. Third possibility would be it depends when he puts it down in the oven. If you put it down in the oven, because he's tired, and the only way to put it is on the oven. You know. Or because it's perverse, and he likes to tempt the fates. Okay? So but that is not considered the Maisa Bishul. Because he has no intention of leaving it there. If he's putting it there to leave it there, but later it changes his mind, that's a Maisa Bishul now. We don't even need the Mafreya for the Maisa Bishul. That's also a reasonable position to take. So Tosis's comment here is either limited Hasra Safek, or it's a combination, or it's also the determining factor in the front-loadedness of the Maisa Bishul. Could be one of those three things. Okay. Either way, what is Tosis's answer?
Michael, go ahead. Kirchiva.
The Kirchiva, the Kirchi Victor, took the new version of Hasra. Vadai, the Akbar, the Boy, the
Yeah, so now, again, what's he saying? Is he saying, you know, this is a Hasra Safek point, namely, even if, the two ways to say it is, even if this isn't a full Maisa Aveira at the moment, it's only going to become one in the Mafreya, or maybe it's only going to become one in the context of the Totsah, not in the Maisa at all. However, Hasra Safek doesn't apply here, because anytime you do anything where all you need now to do for the chiyuv to kick in is shevel atase, that's Rosh Ma'asra Safek. As long as you're not missing a kumbase, even though the shas chiyuv and the ma'isa l'chayim isn't mitzura to the hasra, it doesn't matter. That could be a chiddush in hasra safek. And hasra. It doesn't have to be mitzura to the mechayim. It just has to be that it's not mechus or ma'isa. Anything not mechus or ma'isa, shma'asra. Or is the point here that no, the Maisa to begin with, maybe it could be Nekar, but even if he has Daito Lahakar, it's a Maisa there. What we mean here is that Mimela, there's nothing more, it's not Mechusar Maisa. This is the, therefore the front part is a Maisa. It's hard to know. Well, continues and says, go ahead, the Vadai.
The Vadai lo hayah bedakeh lidos kodem hafiyah. Lo hayah hasra safek.
Elav lo kechem albanim, to what David was referring to. The manar perakeh hen alokin, bitlu lovlo bitlu, shem ala yishbo knefeha, ola yishkepena, hashav shem yishab knefeha, he eliminates the other possible, and you call him lasra, so they'll have hasra, and lo alav, you can't give hasra for the tanai, or for the last exit avenue of his exit strategy, you have to give for the Mechayim. Right, that's the Sugyan Balas. My folks are showing how to read it there too, but okay. Balav kvar rabba, b'chein shvua shenokho kikar zeh, melkol zeh, v'ochal l'insureh, v'hadar ochal l'tnai, k'shemashter bo b'shaf achilas, iser adayim v'chusa mais achilas, shatnai kodem, shitznai balas. Ha'malacha, k'shemad b'kas b'tanur, enu al kfiya b'chuseres mais. He says two things. On the one hand, he says Ein Alfiyah Mechuseres Maisa, right, which could be a din of Bishul, meaning the Mechayev is now. Or he means the Mechayev is in the future. But it's not Mechuseres Maisa. It's Sheva Taz. So this line, the Vade Lohaya Bedaitel Nirdos Kodem Alfiyah. But, and if he would, it sounds like it would make a difference. So the answer is, oh, that's because of Hasra Safek. But from the Maisa point of view, there are two things going on here. It's very complex. It's hard to know. I'm trying to show you the different ways to read the lines of Tosis. They all fit in. Rabbi Kinegar was bothered by the mixed signals. Do you have it there? We're doing a Shas. because he wasn't thinking that he was going to Oker. Where he's talking about the difference between the Tanai and the Mechayiv, it sounds like the real issue is that he did the Mechayiv already. Right? The answer, I think, is that according to Tosis, Daito, Lirdosa, Vishas Maisa, either is a factor determining whether this is a Maisa Bishul, Gufa, a third option. That would answer Rabbi Kinega's question. So then we say, listen, it, Daito, Hoya, Lirdosa. So then we wouldn't say that the Maisa is now and it's Mishem Al Ta'asa. We say, we don't know what it is. So that could be, that's one possibility. Or what Tosis is saying is, there are two ways to have Asra Sape. One way to have Asra Sape is when you have a subjective kavana, you know, to be Oker the Chiyuv, even though you've done the Maisa and the Chayuv. That's true, so that's also Asra Sape. But in absence of that, the only time you can have Asra Sape is if you're Mechusar Maisa. Mechusar Maisa, you're not. But there's still the question. So the Mechayiv is in the end, but it's done to Shev Al Tasa, and that's enough? Or Mechusar Maisa means nothing, Mechusar Maisa means that the Mechayiv is in the end. So we have a full range. A, we can answer Mikadega's question in one of two ways. The point is we have a full range to understand the question and the answer of both. And that full range includes three perspectives on Bishul: front-loaded, end-loaded. It depends on your kavana at the first moment. It also includes a range of views on what is Hasra Safek and what is not Hasra Safek. Now, what about the first part of Tosis? Let's look at that again for a second.
This is the point that
Tosa says, what's his question? I always found this question to be remarkable and a little offensive. Even though Tabali Tosa is asking it, so I guess you can't take too much offense. But it sounds like too practical a question for my taste. Right? Meaning?
That there is, he won't listen to us if we tell him not to take it down.
Who's going
to
listen? Right? I just think that's unacceptable. I mean, well, we understand it on a practical level. Is a guy going to put his head in a noose because the Chachamim said that, you know, that he's violating the Zeir Rabbanan? What? Okay. You know, we speak about maybe that's what he means. That's not the way that it sounds in Tosis. If Tosis had said, who's going to listen to this Zera, or why should they make this Zera, then I would agree with you. That's not
strange. My Ba'oya, he's doing it here. As if to say, why are you in the Sukkot? Of course they were Makir, because nobody's going to listen to us if we're Usher.
I don't think that that's what it means.
Maybe it's similar to the question of...
My Ba'oya, he's who? In Hitiru, Lerdosa, Shikishalei Shmalanu.
I put the comma in a different place. My Ba'oya, he's who? In Hitiru, Lerdosa. And why should not be Baya? Because Pshita Shlo Yishma Lano Nasser Lo.
Well, fine. If it's also my Baya Hizu in the Tiyula Dosa, how could you have such a Safe? I mean, what difference does it make if you have such a Safe? The guy's not going to listen to you anyway. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's a Zereshin Sibri Cholim Labor Bor question. Maybe. It doesn't sound that way to me, but if it is, I'd be happier. Yeah.
Maybe it's just like the Mini too.
What do you mean, Zeitiru? I think that Tosis, my understanding of Tosis, this Gemara is completely impractical. There's not one person on the planet who's going to listen. Right? Ephraim saying he means, if people are going to listen, so it becomes a violation of the rule of Zerusha Tzibur Kalam Lamaba. I just don't think it sounds that way in the question. But if it did, I'd be happy. Either way, that's a side. That's a side. The main point is, Tulsa says, what's the sugya about? Right? The guy's not going to listen. It's taken for granted he's not going to listen. If he's not going to listen, what's going on? Go ahead. Basically, the Rabbanon are the ones who don't allow him to extricate himself from the schema. And therefore, the issue in the Gemara, it's the Pashtus of the Gemara, is the Gemara saying, are you allowed to take it off and save yourself from schema? Or does the Lord Klug, the Rabbanon of the Dia Sapash, apply, and therefore you're forced to put your head in a noose? That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Simple, and then Tosa says, who's going to listen? Every single person is going to buy that. So Tosa's answer is, no. The Gemara's suffix is not whether or not you put your head in the noose for the Zen Rabbanon. The question is, are you allowed to do it? Right? In order to avoid the malacha? Or you're not allowed to do it, and since you're not allowed to do it, that's the reason that you're pater mi onesh, because you're anonymous. Because the Chachamim were the ones who don't let you do it.
That's not being into like a low cost idea, but the Torah tells you to offer carbon on Shabbos. So it's not telling you to offer carbon on Shabbos and then try to avoid metal for the low Shabbos. So it's not really, if the Torah tells us low cost for then low cost is coming in somewhere in conflict with what that said from low cost. So obviously it's not telling us to.
Well, that's what Tulsa is saying here. If the reason that you violate an Isur because of this of something that Chachamim tell you, Chachamim tie your hands, so that should be honest. That's what Tulsa is asking. Is it based on Los Osor? Not necessarily. But I don't think it has to be.
We're just forbidding authority in general.
We're just saying that it isn't your violation here, it's not a willful act. Your hands are tied. So I think what Tulsa is saying is it comes under the category of honest. Period. Now, the question is, if you look at Tosef Shanim on the spot, Tosef Shanim says, well, listen, Imkar Azkar, if you're saying that death is not on the agenda here, either way, you're not going to get killed. You're either not going to get killed because you can take it out, or you're not going to get killed because you don't let you take it out. So Tosef Shanim says, so then we might as well not let him take it out. Why should we let him violate? Either way, he's not going to kill him. What's the advantage of taking him out? That's, you have it there? Tema. Moina Rabbi Shua. It came by, come by. Kiven the bain of Tiru, the lo Tiru, lo mechayev, shita the loya Tiru. Why not? What's the downside of insisting on the takana? Of Radia Sapas, either way, the guy won't get a Misa.
The left of Mishnah would argue, or what other thing? That removing the
mice
from
the itself is a value. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. So, right, there's some interesting, halachic / philosophical questions here. Why bother with the takana to extricate him from the Aveira if either way he's not going to get killed? So, you might as well yukubad in the Sahara on the takana part of it. So then Tosef Shanim says something interesting. Then you relieve Nafkamina. In the Tiru, the Mechayev of Lo Yorda. Okay. The first answer is obvious, meaning if they said that he's supposed to take it off, and he doesn't, it gets complicated, right? So then he's in violation, then he's not anonymous. But the Chacham let him take it off. So the Nafkamina is, if he doesn't take it off, he'll be Chayev. If he takes it off, that's fine. That's the first answer.
That doesn't answer the question.
What?
Wasn't the question, why don't we allow them?
What's the difference?
Why don't we permit them to take it off? That wasn't the question.
The question is,
what do we lose by making it
why would they should not let them take it off?
And how does that answer the question?
Right. It doesn't really answer the question, but at least explains, I guess, what the nafkamina is in the 2 days in the Gemara. I guess you could ask the question in two ways. One question is, why isn't it obvious that they should say Yikov Adin and insist on their takana? The first answer doesn't answer that question. The other question is, what difference does it make either way? He avoids the death penalty. The answer to that question, I guess, is, well, if they allow him to take it off, and he doesn't, then he doesn't avoid the death penalty. Anyway, the post has another answer. The post is Shonen. Inami, he gufa komi boilei. The tiru, the loya tiru minayu. Gufa, they were wondering whether or not, if they don't allow him, this question gufa, what Tosa says, that's the topic of the Gemara. If they don't allow him to take the pot off the oven, and therefore it cooks, is he going to be chayav gisa or not? If the reason that he finishes the malacha is because they've tied his hands, is he chayav or is that amos? That gufa is the question. That's strange. I mean, the machlokas in the Gemara here about dine onus, when the chachamim prevents you from doing something and the result is that you violate the machlokas in the Gemara, whether that's considered onus or not. It could just as well have been, like you said before, he said, well, it's also, but, right, I mean, any other case of, you know, whether a drabbanan are responsible for you violating something that's barovish. Maybe. Either way, it's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, what Tosa says is a double caution. If you read the Gemara, let's step back for a second. If you read the Gemara, it seems clear that the issue is the death penalty. Forget about, you could ask the question, what isn't it exertion of Tzibri Chalim Labo, because who's going to listen? You know, in every society, if you have 100 such cases, so 99 of them are probably not going to listen. Well, I'd rather violate the Chachamim and live to see another day. I'll say, live to do tshuva. Okay. But that aside, the issue isn't whether they're going to listen. The issue is whether or not, you know, what's the right thing?
It could be more of a method, though, because this is not Italian to do something that's going to be defined with Mahaya Visa.
Right.
In other words, his actual stance as killing him, and then the comics simply are preventing him from undoing his humanity.
Correct, exactly. So the point is as follows. Let's just step back one more.
It's like
what?
The Amma extending my power through the children.
Okay, there's a little bit of a parallel to that. I mean, he did my sadeh, the only question is whether he's going to get out of it.
Right.
But we're cutting off his exit strategy, but we're not forcing him to do the aveira.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a good question. The point is as follows. If you look at the Gemara, the simple shot of the Gemara is, are we going to impose the death penalty on this guy because we don't let him extricate himself because of the drabbanan? A remarkable Gemara, actually. Tosa says, no. That's not what's going on here, because that's inconceivable. It's not inconceivable that the Chachamim would impose a drabbanon that would cause him to violate death penalty. I would have liked that question in Tosafot. Like, how could the Chachamim do such a thing? How could the Chachamim make a drabbanon that will result in this person getting the death penalty? I think that's a good question. The question is, once you already are not bothered by that, to say, well, you know, who cares? The guy's not going to listen. That bothers me. I don't care. Unless we interpret like a fraud to this, which I'm aware of also, but I just don't see the line. Then Tosa says, no, he's anonymous. And then Tosa Shonim says, well, in that case, turn the question around, right? Why should anybody be matir or such a thing? Not why should, how can you be oser, but why should you be matir? Either way, you're off the hook. The answer is, no, that gufa's what the Gemara's been stopping. The Gemara is saying, do we insist because insisting will not lead you to the death penalty, or do we not insist because insisting would lead you to the death penalty? So then, according to Tosa Shana, the 2 days in the Gemara, our gufa question whether you get the death penalty when it's the Chachamim closing off the avenue that is responsible. So what's going on? Kind of general machlokas about onus? So Michael's suggesting, no, let's go back to the original question. I agree with that. The point is as follows. If the bishul is at the putting of the pot on the oven, so basically the whole discussion of the Gemara is not that the Chachamim are forcing you to violate, it's that the Chachamim are closing off your escape strategy, your exit strategy. The Maisa there you did already. The only question is, do you have the still have the ability to rewrite history and to undermine it? Or have they closed off that avenue, in which case you're stuck with the history as is? But if you say that Bishul is dependent upon the results, so then basically the Chachamim are forcing you, b'shem al taaseh, but they're forcing you to violate. That's a different matter. So if you ask ourselves this question, you know, onus is poter when? Onus is poter any possibility of extricating yourself from the onus? Or onus is only poter the ma'isa aveira? I think it's an open question. Certainly, if onus results in you doing ma'isa aveira, you should be poter. If onus closes off the revisionist exit strategy, it's an open question. So therefore, what emerges is that this is according to Tosfos Shanim, that's goof of discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara isn't discussing onus. Maybe it is. Maybe it's also discussing onus in general. It's one possible way to read the Gemara. But it seems more likely that our Gemara has to do with Bishul. The Gemara wants to know, is Bishul front-loaded? In which case, all that's happening here is that the exit strategy is being cut off. And therefore, you should be chayav for what you did voluntarily. Or is Bishul about the end, in which case there's no way that we can be mechayev yunisa under these conditions. Similarly, look at the previous tosis. And then it goes right from there, I should add, into the hasra safek discussion. In the previous tosis, tosis discusses the conditions for saying chatei kadei shigizakeh or shetizakeh chavercha. When does somebody intervene on behalf of this one? A very fascinating topic. I just want to pick out one line of Tosis here. Tosis initially, skip down a little bit. The Omer Riva. Everybody have that? 3, 6, 1, 9 lines of the Tosis. The Fila Madik Atzmo, Ein Lifshot Misham, and the Gemara in Erevin that they call it. The Gemara in Erevin has Machlokes. Rebbe says, Nichol and Chavir to Leavid Isur Kurila, Lo Leavid Amaritz Isur Rabba. If he can do a lesser offense to save his neighbor, doing a larger aveira, he should do so. That's the Gemara. The Chokas in Gemara. So it says, Amar Riva, Dafila Madvik Atzmo, Ein Lifshot Misham Lahatir. The Gemara there wants to know whether A can do that for B. But it seems possible that A can violate a lesser offense in order to save himself from a more stringent offense. Right? Who says that my leniency is better than your stringency? But certainly my leniency should be better than my stringency. So Tosa says, maybe you can afila madbik atzmo ein lishot misham lahati. The hasam adayinu naso yisur. Muta shiyasa yisur kal v'layasa yisur kal v'ral yom. The question is, can a guy be mafrish shalom and amukaf in order to make sure that the other fellow won't accidentally or even through his own carelessness, eat tevel. But so far, no aveira has happened. The guy's eating tevel, yeah. You want to know, can you do an isur kal to make sure that I don't do an isur at all? So by extension, what that means is I can certainly do an isur kal to make sure that I don't do an isur kal. But, says Tosas, does that prove anything about our sugya, about madvik pas b'tar? Let him do the isur kal, rudias apas, in order to preclude doing the Yisur Chamor. The answer is not comparable, because there, nothing happened. But here, something has happened. Aval hacha ha-maisa shal Yisur kvar nasa u'mimei le-yigmar. Therefore, lo-yasa p'il Yisur kal b'yadayin. So what does this mean by that? So again, I think that there are, nothing is easy. I think there are two ways to read Tosis. One way to read Tosis is, Tosis is saying, Bishul, the Ma'isa Aveira, is the beginning. And therefore, the Ma'isa Aveira has already been done. The only thing that hasn't been done is we have not yet cut off the avenue of escape, of revising history. But that's, since the Ma'isa Aveira is already done, therefore this idea of Yisur Kal doesn't Now you did a mitzvah there, and now you're going to do a mitzvah kal.
This sort of, I don't know if it's philosophical, but this sort of plays into the Rebbe's idea of the creative power of tshuva and the whole issue of Elohim and Hashem being gracious. Because there is, here we see with the case of your friend who's going to the Yisr, he's going to the Yisr anyway, and you're going to the Yisr kal for Bethany. But you're not going to do it here, where you already started the Yisr, even let's say you started the Yisr for Shogeg, or you started the Yisr for Shaka.
Right.
So it goes to the heart of that.
I mean, it's double, the power of Chet in its own way.
Right, and that the whole Chiddush is true, but true
right. Right, that's true. So I think it's one possibility, is that that's supposed to say. It's supposed to say, my son there is now. The other possibility, if you want to read the other way, plus this also agrees that Vishal is the end. But what Tosis is saying is, it's still a Dover de Mimeo. It's still the Shabbat Pasta. The Kumbase is already been done. It's not Mechuzar Maisa. In the other case, it's not only before the Mechayim, it's even before the Pa'ula Sahabe. But nothing is happening. Here, something has happened. The Maisa has been done. Not the Chalosa Isa, but the Maisa. Maybe that's enough in terms of this question. I think that's still two ways to interpret Tosfos. The truth is, in the whole Sugya, we have this as well. If you look at Tosfos here on the top, the third Tosfos, the little one, Tosfos says, the Ela Hadar Yidkar Ni Bechayim. Teva, Elishni Eima Lidei Iser Chatas, could have come to Samo, Kon Shem Lidei Iser Skila. What Tosas is asking? Tosas is saying, the Gemara says what? If we're talking about the guy himself and it's Shogeg, so either he doesn't know what's going on, or he finds out in the middle. If he finds out in the middle, then it's Chilas of a Sofo. He needs to cross himself to Chicago, he doesn't have it, and therefore there's no, he's mazed on the sof, there's no carbon, and therefore there's no reason to interfere. Right? Tosa says the only reason to interfere is because of the Omesh. Let it interfere because of the Maisa Vera. That's Tosa's question. So, and Ramban asks this question as well. Tosfos and Ramban, so Ramban is much more expansive on this point, say apparently not. Apparently the only justification to intervene here is to get him out of the korban, but to remove the blight of the Iser, that would not be reason, because otherwise, what do we care? So what? I mean, he needs to kill himself in the shkaga, that's a din in the kiyu korban. But it still violates. In fact, it's worse in a way, because if he's amazing in the middle, the second half of the Avera, he was the amazing.
Maybe the machalik then between this Tosos and what Tosos, the point Tosos makes down here, and the point that was made in the Mishnah, which is that if he's an Ones, right. Then maybe even the Maisa Halacha, you know, sort of is even more distanced from him. But from here he's still very much connected to the Maisa.
Because he knows it's just because it's Mazen?
Right, he's
maybe, but the point is again, why is what Ramban told to say correct? I mean, why don't we care that the guy is violent? We only care about his karma. Strange. The truth is that in the opposite direction, on the issue of Chadei Kadesh Zaka Chabercha, so also the series of Gemaras, which have different perspectives on it. So one of them is the one day in the Ramban. Ramban says, in this sugya, we are particularly machmir. The Gemara says, this is one of the most machmir Gemaras. So the Ramban says, the diyuk should be on the word yizake. And that's the key to understanding why this Gemara is different than other Gemaras. Why? It says, because really, what's the big deal? He's shogeg, he'll bring a carbon. save the guy a little bit of money, then we have to bring karma, that's the problem. In other words, we're not saving him from an isur. We're saving him from a schus mamon. So I should do an averus and he could save $10 or $100. That's how the Ramban interprets the Gemara. But in the other cases, we're preventing averus. In other words, in that part, in this line of the Gemara, one day the Ramban is saying, the karbon should be the least of our concerns. On the other hand, in the beginning of the Gemara, right, the Ramban and Tosfos are basically saying the only justification, possible justification for intervention would be the fact that there's a karbon, not the fact that there's an aveir. Two opposite perspectives. What's really going on here? I think what could be going on, again, is this question. The nice aveir was already done. If you say the Bishol is the beginning of the process. Well, the question is now, are you going to be able to be Okeret after the fact, which affects the Onish? So the question is, if no Avera was yet done, and I can prevent him from doing it like Tosfos says in the beginning of the process, and I can prevent him from doing an Avera, for sure you should do it. Not only should he do it himself, maybe something can be for him too. But if the aveir has already been done, the only question now is it going to be an onesh, or is it going to be nekar l'mafreya? So the urgency is actually the korban now. It's the onesh. Now the interesting thing is that the Ramban at least says, when the Gemara in the end says, and so on. So what happens to Shogeg in the end? So the Ramban says that in the end of the Gemara, it's Bein Shogeg Bein Nezer. And even though there is no Karban, because Chalas HaSafah B'Shkaga, nonetheless, the Gemara changed its mind. The Gemara originally thought that the only time we'd ever intervene was if it gets him out of karban. Once they introduce the skila, anyway, Tosfos says, what's the difference than the skila? Right? So the Ramban's saying, yeah, once they introduce the skila, they know that to remove the blight of the Maisa Deira is enough as well. That's the Ramban. It's quite possible that some of Shonim disagree. That some of Shonim think that it's only skila, the halacha, and not shkaga. Not what the Sefer Shonim is. Had a pasuk in the halacha. The others only quote the shkaga, even the halacha, not the skila. And the big machlokas how we pasuk in the end of the sugya. So we have both perspectives. At the beginning of the sugya, both Tosfos and Ramban pointed out that you never do this just because of the ma'aseh aveir, only because of the karma. In the end, you might be saying the ma'aseh aveir is enough. Now, that could be still for two reasons. So it could be the Gemara changed its mind about the nature of Bishul. Maybe Bishul really isn't the beginning, Bishul is the end. In which case, you are preventing not just the onesh, but the ma'aseh aveir. That you would always do. One possibility. Or even if ma'aseh aveir is the beginning, the fact that it could be nekar, what about the value of being oker and aveira l'mafreya? Right, so it might not be as much as preventing one from taking place to begin with, but is it enough to justify violating the Ramban? I can expunge this from my record, albeit I admit that I'm doing that through, you know, a revisionist strategy. Not that I never did anything, I did, but I'm expunging it, I'm afraid. Is that enough of a justification to violate a Din D'Rabbanan? Could be that's the machlokas, or the machlokas is about the nature of Bishul. There's another possibility as well, it's just something to focus on for a minute, and that's just to zero in on Tosfos' language. Right, Tosfos says, after all, we say Kom Shavu the Deis Skila. We don't just speak about, you know, Kodim Skila. You know, the Isser Skila. So why is the Isser Chatos any different than the Isser Skila? So I think there is raised an interesting question, and that is, in general, when we're talking about Mezen Shogay or Skila and Chatos, is the difference only in the Onish level, but it's basically the same Maisa Veira? Same Maisa Veira, either way. Well, the question is, you know, he did it the Mezen, the Shogay is Chayav Chatos. And then the urgency to prevent the Maisa Veira, the act of Chilul, should be the same in both cases, Onish aside. Or does the factor of Mezid also contribute to the level of the intensity of the Mais Aveira? In which case, an Aveira, Shel Chata, Shel Shogig, you know, especially one that's already taken place, to uproot it, Lamafreya, when either way there's no carbon, you might say, you know, it's like a game almost. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying a perspective might be. I mean, he did the Maisa Veira, he didn't do the Maisa Veira. Either way, you know, Kamishmaya Galia, whatever. It's a demerit on your record, it's not a demerit. Either way, there's no consequence. Only the Ravon Sholom knows. So if you're Oker at Lamafreya, technically, that's enough a reason. There's still a difference on your record, but is that enough of a reason to violate a din d'rabbana? But if you're talking about a maisa veira b'skila, to uproot that from your record, maybe more than just a technicality. So in the formulation of Tosfos, the comparison between iser skila, iser chatos itself, there may be some room to be mechalik. Yeah.
Is that like a cooperation point? That even though he doesn't get gullus or misa, or potentially because the reason he doesn't get those is because of this powerful lazy state of mind that he has.
Yeah, except that has more to do specifically with the implementation. The ownership now I'm talking about in terms of it being, this is how we focus on the Easter separate from its own. There are some parallels to it. Right. Again, deepens the, you know, that's the Ra's idea in Hasra, that the Hasra adds to the Chumas Maisa Veira, and it's just a different Maisa Veira. So too, I think one could say that's the truth of Hasra, which is why even though he's a Chaver Tzara Hasra Lachin, it still differentiates the type of Mezid or Aveira it is. I'm saying something similar. Without the Hasra component, there's some of the discipline based on the shoulder. And I think it has important consequences in general for philosophically and halachically understanding the relationship between Issa of Amez and Issa of Shogig, whether it's only in terms of the Onesh or even in terms of the Maisa. Okay, so these are some of the, you know, some of the issues. Again, we can't pin it down concretely, yes or no, but Hasra issue. About two things. The onus issue could be about two things. The difference between chate, lezakos, as atzmo, isa klira, and other things also could be two things. This havamina de gemara, do we only care about the onus, extricating you from the onus, or also from the iser? Is there a difference between shogeg and nezid? Is that about also how much is taking place already in the context of bishul? These are some of the issues that reflect the larger question. I also think that the question of shiurim may be important here. I mentioned this in the past. Michalsinuch has a discussion. Let's say the shiur changes from the beginning of the end to the end of the visha. The object swells, the object shrinks. It was a shiur in the beginning and not in the end. Gemara has such a discussion in Hamatzniyah about Akira of Hanacha, which is anyway a good parallel to that, although it could be B'chalik. But it's an interesting question. I mean, how do you define Shir? By the beginning of the process? By the middle? And in both directions. Swelling and shrinking. So the point is, the Chassidut feels that this is a universal question. Swelling and shrinking in Shir. I think that there may be a particular aspect to a bishul. If we see bishul as being about the sin on Gavre Tanur, or the end, it's sensible to say that that would determine the critical moment is for the shiur. Again, qualified by saying, well, even if it's the end, you still need a kubasei. Even if it's the beginning, you still need a result, which either way ties the end to the beginning to the end. But just as there might be other nafkamina, there might be nafkamina here as well. Of course, one of the biggest nafkamina is the one that we already did discuss, and that's the discussion of the Achronim about the relationship between Zoreya and Bishul, the Rashash, and the Miskino, and the Eglei Tal. And as we discussed it then, basically it's a dual argument. On the one hand, it's an argument about Zoreya. If you equate Zoreya and Bishul, so then there seem to be two consequences. And that's what the Rashash did. By equating Zoreya to Bishul, on the one hand, he came to the conclusion that like Bishul, Zoreya has to come to a certain consequence, to a certain result. Therefore, he came to the conclusion that Zoreya, the Oker, Kod of Hashrasha, is Pacha. We learn from Bishul, from our Sugya, that if you're Oker, Lefnei Hasof, then you're not Chayav. That's what Bishul teaches Zoreya. But we also learn from Zoreya to Bishul, what we learn is that the Gemar can take place even B'chol. Because classically, Hashrasha in Zriya is always going to be on Chol. So again, ironically, or not ironically, the Rashash, because he learned Bishul, only because he learned, you know, from Bishul to Zoreya, can he end up taking from Zoreya to Bishul. Because otherwise you say, well, Zoreya is also completely on Shabbos. Right? This doesn't need Hashrasha. He only knows that he needs Hashrasha from Bishul, and then he ends up saying that therefore Bishul itself can end up being completed after Shabbos. And the assumption is that Zoreya and Bishul are one and the same. Because they're elongated processes, that they're similar in terms of the Mechayim. And what exactly the Mechayim is, so we discuss it at the time, whether it's the beginning or the end, or the process, and so on. In any case, the Minchas Chinuch argued with both of these points. He argued that Bishul is fundamentally different than Zoreya. Argued that you do not need Hashrasha and Zoreya. Everything is front loaded. And on the contrary, you need that the Gemara of Bishul should be on Shabbos, because that's the critical moment. The Bishul is backloaded. Eglei Tal is somewhere in between, as we discussed. But here's Hashrasha in Zoreya as a shir and a maisa. It's not the need for a result, it's a shir and a maisa itself. But in any case, that's the debate. So part of this debate, of course, is again, according to the Rashash, we are giving significant stature to the beginning of the process. That's the only thing that needs to take place on Shabbos. And by associating Bishul with Zoreya, we're essentially underscoring the front-loaded nature of it. But Bishul has to have a result. Yeah, because otherwise, the Glein Muslim Afreya, that you know, it was no Maisa either. And that's why it's applicable to Zoreya as much as it is to Bishul. But according to the Chassidah, we know that at the time there are many different formulations, but it seems like, you know, he says, this isn't the Xeris HaKasav, that's what Bishul is, and that's what Zoreya is. Zoreya is the Sinas Azer of Dokha Karka. Bishul is, you know, the result of Bishul. He's very much focused on that part of it. The Eglei Tal says, also, conceptually, agrees with the Chassidah, and says, for that reason, what you have in Bishul, in Magus, you do not have in Zoreya, in speeding the process of Zriya, let's say by taking the Zera from Agavi Yisedos and sticking it into the karka. Assuming it's already growing on Agavi Yisedos, as we discussed, of its Nachum, of Agavi Yisedos. So that's what the Eglei Tal said, listen, why can't you bring it right from Magus? Magus is stirred up the pot, it speeds the Bishul. It would have taken place anyway in an hour, now it's going to take place half an hour. That's Bishul. So, too, It'll take 2 weeks, I'll tell you, it'll take a week in the parka. That's the negus equivalent of Zareya. That's what he develops. And he says, however, maybe not, because maybe Zareya is about the Maisa's Ria, in which case the ability to quicken the result is irrelevant. Whereas the Bisho, it is really about the result of the end. So that's another Machina. But that whole discussion, of course, focuses on that. What we're left with in terms of evidence is mixed. And it could be that there's a machlokes, and it could be the position within the machlokes is a little complex, as we just noted. You need the beginning and you need the end, according to everybody, but for different reasons. But the alternative to all this is what I've suggested, which is that the Rambam may hold that the beginning and the end are all part of one integrated process. Bishul is a process by its nature. That may explain the other halacha of the Rambam, based on the Gemara Beitza. With this, I guess I'll run over time. So I'll end now, and maybe we'll say another 5 minutes worth on Tuesday. So Tuesday at 11, right, we're meeting again, and we're going to try for Malacha Sabonet. When?
Tuesday.
On Tuesday, I guess so. Maybe at 1 o'clock Tuesday. Let's try for that. Unless it would only get rescheduled because I have to just check the call schedule. We have to get the number of couples on the screen. So, but assuming that spot, that time is open, I'll have it.
When's
the
regular
set? What?
I think you're
regular set. Regular show will be 11, and then 1 o'clock is our first start. So again, this is the Rambam has its formulation on the sugya Beitza. The Gemara Beitza has the Echad Nosin as Eitzin, Echad Nosin as Kdeira, Echad Nosin as Or. So Kulam Echad Megis. So the Gemara says that Kulam are Chayav. So the if you look there in the Sugya Beitza, so the Rishonim have the difficulties with the Gemara Nabadala explaining that, especially Echad Megis as Kdeira, Echad Megis as Eitzin as Or the Eitzin. Why is that Bishul? That's not here. A Bishul. So the Rashi says in Akhanan, all we mean is everyone in the sky, we don't mean that everyone in the sky is Bishul. So the Negus is Sky, Bishul, Echad Negus Eitz and Echad Negus Or, that's what the Nadir. And the Gemara itself says that Sofes Nesa Kdeira is Makapatish. So keep him clean. Gemara itself asks, Sofas says, Kdeira, what does that do with Bishul? But if you look at the Rambam in Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, so the Rambam makes it all Bishul, including Sofas says, Kdeira. Echad Nasan is Or, Echad Nasan is Eitzin, Echad Nasan is Kdeira. Echad nasam samayim, echad nasam sabasar, echad nasam satavlin, vacha vehigis, kulam chayavim mishum bevashim. So that's against Rashi, and it's even against that line of the Gemara. So that's what the Raivad asks about the line of the Gemara, at least. Mukim la v'kedera chadasha, mishum ribun reifim, nagubba tikun kli. According to the Rambam, it sounds like everything is bishul. So if you look at the very next line of the Rambam, he adds a very important line. Shekol ha'osa davar mitzrachei habishul hareza mevashel. That's a terrific line. So the Rambam is basically saying that bishul is contributing to the process of bishul. So even echad maybe if it's within the context, or va'etzim, as long as he does it within the mizgeret, within the framework of bishul, and even sofes ha'kedera, all of that is bishul. That's a remarkable view of the Rambam. Then the Rambam continues and he quotes the next part of the Gemara, Avalim Safas, Echad Esakdeira Tchila, he puts the pot on first, Ba'ach Rabbanasan Esamayim, works backwards, Ba'ach Rabbanasan Esabasar, Ba'ach Rabbanasan Esatavlin, Ba'ach Rabbanasan Esar, Ba'ach Rabbanasan Esaitzim Al-Ar, Ba'ach Rabbihigis, Shnaim Achronim Be'van, Chayav Mishum Be'vashe. So the Achronim also have a question here about the relationship between the Eitzim and the Ar. It says, so So the Nosa Kelim, this huge discussion, what changed between the Reisha and the Seita? And they make the suggestion that maybe it makes a difference whether the Eitzim and the Or and some of these things are done by Basachas or Bazeacharzeh. So that's very meduyik, the language of the Rambam, the language of the Gemara. Yeah, look at the Kesavishna, he has a whole discussion. So some of the Akronim ask, if it makes a difference on the timing and so on, so then why don't we always look at it as Shnayim Shasu? Now, if these are not independent pieces, and the interreaction or the interrelationship between them is part of what's going to determine Tiv and Ptur, whether we look at it in isolation or not, so why not also say, Shnayim Shasu? Rabbi Zal Meltas, among others, asks this question. I think he quotes the question from others in Eben Ha'Esel. But he struggles with it. So I'd like to suggest a very simple, or Magus, that people say, Magus should be Shnayim Shasu. Right? Because it's like classic Shnayim Shasu. I mean, you know, one person can do it. If you're not Magus, it'll still get cooked. This way it gets cooked faster. It's like, you know, Echad Oker V'Echad Meniyah. But what I'd like to suggest is, a bit of a Kiddush, but if the Rambam really means Shekala Osa Davar Mitzrachi Abishol Reza Mavashel, he has a wider definition of Bishol, and it's not just about the beginning or the end or both, but it's about a wider, Bishol is a process, Shekala Osa Davar Mitzrachi Abishol. So then, the whole concept of Shnayim Shasu just will not apply to the different components. Because every one of them is Osa Davar Mitzrachi Abishol. By definition, Bishol has different components. Or you have one integrated action, or a particular... Now again, don't be misled. There could still be Shnayim Shasu. Two people take the pot and they put it down. Or two people are Magus together. Or two people are Magus Eitzim together. That would be still Shnayim Shasu. What I'm talking about is if there are various steps, different distinctive contributions to this or other bishuls, that each one separately will not be Shnayim Shasu, because that's the nature of what bishul is. It's exactly what the Rambam says. Osa davar mitzrachi abishul, harizah mevashel. I haven't seen it, but it's a suggestion. Yeah.
Sorry,
the reason that you're not chayav.
The reason they weren't chayav before the fire, before they brought the fire, was not said that.
Yeah, I think it works nicely with the idea that this is all one. And also works nicely with one other point, which is the question that the Lechemish and others are asking, which is why isn't there all, and Chaskino for sure, why isn't there also Mahavir? And also Tikkun Kli. So Mikhaskino will say there is, as we know. But it doesn't sound that way. And in general, the relationship between Bishol and Mavir is a tricky one. But they understand they overlap a lot. And the Ravid, both your Paraktes, the Nosa Kelim and Paraktes and Parak Yudbeis discuss Parak Yudbeis is Mavir. And the Ravid already Halacha Aleph and Parak Yudbeis Halacha Aleph. So Perak Yud Beis Halacha Aleph, and then you have Pir Perak Tes, several of the cases where the Ravid and other Ravid or Mach or Sakanim are wondering, how come you're not also Chayav Mishum Mavashel there? How can you not also Chayav Mishum Mavashel here? I mentioned before that the Chayodan and the Mechaskinuch and others ask Getshrashi Rashi doesn't need Kabanas Yibush. They say, why? Shekhsarepsikresha. I think the point is that Bishul is just different than Mavir. Bishul is based on this idea in the Rambam, Kol Osa Dover Mitzrachia Bishul, Areza Mavasha. It's not the heat per se, it's not the lighting, It's not the burning. It's, you know, mitchilu v'atzov. It's a whole process of cooking. And so this is a question. So this becomes a question, another question then. And that is, when you have overlap between different malachos that compete in a way for the character of a certain action, we be high shtein in such a case. It's a meta malacha question. But what we've seen is, for example, in the area of separation, that's what they quoted by the Kiddush Yeran says in Kuf Gimel Aleph, right? Why there? What does the Gemara mean there when it says the Arad HaKabrei? What it really means is, right, that you have two malachos. You don't say Psikresha Asur when it's two malachos, right? Because one becomes Iker, the other becomes Tafet. And that's what we suggested maybe for the Rambam of Chicago about Mavir and Mechad. And we suggested about Choreshans and Zareya. I mean, the details are important here. Sometimes the more different things are, the easier it is to say two things are happening at the same time. And when they're kind of fighting for the same turf, but they're different, then one crowds out the other. I think that's possibly what's happening. Each case needs to be discussed. Some of them, I think, are still difficult to understand, although some of them are, I think, easier to understand. But I think that's part of what's happening in the relationship between Mavir and Ravasho. They're overlapping by definition, but they're totally different in orientation. We're not interested in the flame and in the kilu, and even in the heat, per se. We're interested in the nosin esa or the nosin esa eitzim is no more bishul than the vegas, or even than the self-based sakadera, according to the Rambam. Well, that's not going to help you for the Rambam because Rambam is Moshe Tzurim. But what I'm saying is, it's not more than that. What I'm saying, it's not a psikresha either, because just like the Rambam's Mavir Mechaber, meaning when things are competing for the same turf, but they're providing different perspectives, so you might argue in that case they don't overlap or coincide. One defines it, and the other is crowded out. And I think that's what's happening.
So it's also the Ram Shita, the official culture of versus not all that you're saying?
I think so. I don't have time to discuss it. Maybe I'll speak about that next time for a few minutes. And it's interesting that the Rambam quotes some of these halakhas together. It's strange the way he... the Rambam says you go from Kol Tzarko to Machal, from Machal Ben Tzarko to Kol Tzarko, so the Rambam says that's Ein Bishlach HaBishon. And the Rambam here says that you're chayav for that. Kol Mevashel, but it's interesting that the Rambam puts it, המפקיעס הביצים בבגד חם ובחול באבק דרוכים שיכול מן הישם שפק על שניצלס פוטר שתולס חם אין כתולס האש אבל גוזר עליהם מפני תולס אור בחינו מבשו בחם בטבריה פוטר מבשו לאור דבר שהוא מבושל כל צורקו ודבר שאין צורך בישול כלל פוטר So again, why does the Rambam put in the same halacha, but if you go from Machal Ben Drosoi to Kol Tzarko, you're chayim, according to the Rambam. The Rajba disagrees. So why does the Rambam put that in the same halacha as the difference between Chama and Eish? And that transitions into the next halacha, which is Echad Nosein Es Or, Echad Nosein Es Eitzin, and so on. So I thought, we're going to have time to work it out right now, that that's all consistent with this idea. That the Rambam is trying to explain that Bishul is not a single act. Bishul is called Osa Davar Litzorech Bishul, Kaiva Mishum Pasha. That's why, according to the Rambam, all these things are really two sides or other sides, many sides, of the same halakha. Okay, we'll stop here. I'm sorry. Try to be bona on Tuesday.
Yeah. It seems that it goes to without the